Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release Says, not press release today, press releases, Greek edition, because I'm actually in Greece right now on vacation, and you can probably see that from my face. And with us today, happy to have him back, because it's been a bit, it's been a minute, Steve McCauley, Empire Clinics, EPW Canada, EPWCF in the United States, and ADC for our friends in Germany. Today, guys, we've got two amazing press releases we're talking about. The first one is Empire signs new agreements to advance growth of their research and clinical trials with the signing of two additional principal investigators and approved to process multiple clinical study apps from pharmaceutical sponsors. Steve, that's a lot to digest. We're going to break it down. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, George, thank you. It has been a minute, as you said, and we've got a lot going on behind the scenes. We haven't disappeared. We're having to work harder than ever before to get our model right in these sort of challenging markets over the last 6, 9, and 12 months. But I'm thrilled to be back on with you and talk about some of these recent announcements that we put out.
So there are two elements to this press release. One is the signing of two additional principal investigators. But I'm going to save that for a second.
Okay.
The primary one I want to talk about, this is exciting. You've been approved to process multiple clinical study applications from pharmaceutical sponsors. What does that mean in layman's terms? Because this is a big milestone. You can say in your quote, I'm going to read that later, but how big is it? And what does it mean for the investors? What does it mean for everybody?
Yeah, so you know, we've been really delving into this sector for the last year. And like anything new, you know, you've got to get your footing. You've got to establish, you know, medical centers, principal investigators have to be, you know, on your roster and ready to go, and you have to gain access to patients. Now, all of that has to be in place in order to even start communicating with the pharmaceutical companies who are sponsoring the clinical trials and the CROs, the contract research organizations who kind of run oversight on behalf of Big Pharma for their research and their drug development. So there's a key step to get through here. So we have been able to establish working relationships with multiple CROs and multiple pharmaceutical companies and are examining their various, and there's a multitude, right? A multitude. There are more drugs in development right now than pretty much ever in history. But irrespective of that, you have to meet, it's kind of like matchmaking. We have to match the capability and skill set of our medical doctors who are specialists with the types of trials that may be available. And a major milestone becomes if we seem to fit a certain category of a trial with the profile of our principal investigators, we can then apply to the sponsor and say, hey, we're set up in Dallas. Is that a market that you want to operate in? Well, Dallas is an attractive market because of the size, location, and diversity of the population. Next, if we meet that sort of criteria, they'll say, okay, here's a sneak preview at our protocol, but you don't get the whole protocol. Let us know if you're interested. And if you are, then you go to the next document signing phase, which is signing what they call a CDA. So in the pharmaceutical industry, they refer to them as confidential disclosure agreements. So like we call NDAs, they call them CDAs. You have to sign their CDA in their form or else they won't release the information to you. So we have in excess of, I think we're now over 13 of those specific CDAs have been signed and accepted by the pharmaceutical companies within the type of criteria of trials that work for our now 6 principal investigators. So now we get complete disclosure of the study itself and what is called the protocol document. In that document, it ranges in some cases, they're 20 pages long. I've seen a couple that have exceeded 130 pages. So there's a great deal of detail in there, and you're basically, they're describing to you exactly what they're looking for in their pharmaceutical clinical trial. And our job is to match their protocol against principal investigators who have that research experience and the medical qualifications, and then ultimately patients from their patient roster that fit the inclusion criteria and the exclusion criteria. And if we put all that matchmaking together and we check all the boxes appropriately, we get awarded the study.
And you've matched 13 CDAs. You're applying for 13 CDAs, and you're not just going to say, yes, let's hope we can land one, see what sticks on the wall, because you'd lose all credibility. So when you've got 13 CDAs matched, that's pretty positive.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work that way. You can't just go out and say, okay, well, I'm going to sign every potential CDA and get my hands on.
Exactly.
Because one, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of credibility resources. And you know, the more credible we can become with the CROs and the pharmaceutical companies, then they keep coming back to you, right?
So 13 is a big number. You must be happy with that, right? See, like how happy when I heard 13 just now, I said, okay, wow, we've made massive inroads here, because I know it's a real incremental, there's a lot of steps you got to, but that seems like a big leap there, a great leap.
Yeah, you know, it is. And you know, we spent a lot of time behind the scenes on the legwork, on the relationship building, identifying the PIs, negotiating with the PIs and the medical centers was a process unto itself. But we had the first group who have four very qualified PIs. These are seasoned medical doctors. These are not straight out of medical school. A couple of them are cardiologists. The other two are internal medicine specialists, really diverse capability. And they've been researchers on multiple categories of studies historically. So they've got a really nice resume or CV for the criteria that pharmaceutical companies are looking for. The other key thing is, do they have access to patients? Now, because they're a large medical group, because they've all been in practice in excess of 20 years, they've built up as a group a very large roster of patients. And I think I in the press release, I kind of alluded to some of the patient funnel work that we've been doing as well with those four principal investigators.
Well, it says here you've identified in excess of 1,100 patients from their roster that meet the eligibility for nine of the current 13.
Yeah,
so
just yeah.
I'm assuming there's more to come with the other four.
There is, and there's more to come with the new principal investigators that we signed. Now they're a different category of specialists. They're pain management specialists, and it's a pain management practice. So the types of studies that they are interested in and that they would have the requisite qualifications for are going to be different than the categories of the other center. But as a site management organization, one of our strengths will be diversity, is managing a diverse population of principal investigators who have access to a diverse population of patients. And so the count of 1,100 is based on nine unique trials that we've signed CDAs on that have been countersigned by the pharmaceutical company, and that our principal investigators have reviewed the preliminary protocols and have said, yes, we're interested in those. What they did from there is they said, okay, by individual trial, I'm going to tell you from my patient roster how many patients I think are in my funnel that could be eligible for that particular study. And now we get into kind of the funnel business, because, you know, if you have 1,000 patients, you know, you're not going to get all 1,000 in the study. There's going to be a funnel approach to it.
Of course.
But the identification and early identification of that is really mission critical. And in the segment or in the industry, they refer to that as pre-screening and then screening and then compliance review in that sequence. Our job as the site management organization and the matchmaker is to do everything in our power to speed that up, make it more efficient, expedite it, get the patients recruited and into the study themselves, because that's what generates the invoicing and the revenue and the payments for everybody involved in that sort of ecosystem.
It just seems like everything's moving along at a fantastic speed, because I had a sense of how big of a process it was going to be when we first started talking about this at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if I had to guess, I would have thought you'd been at this stage somewhere in late Q3, mid Q4. And here you are right now, you're already there. What should shareholders think? What's potential? I know you can't give dates and it's not, you can't because not you're not there yet, but are you still confident that 2023 is going to generate revenue from this new push for the company?
Yeah, we think that it does. I mean, if I think of where we sit right now at the beginning of August, we really made, I'll call it strides in the last, say, 6 weeks, where the engagement level with the PIs really ramped up, getting through the relationship building with the pharmas and the CROs really accelerated, and we were really making some inroads, getting all of these CDAs ticked off and signed. Because remember, we also have to identify, you know, what type of studies to go after. So, you know, there are thousands of them,
sure,
right? But, you know, our PIs are only going to qualify for a certain, you know, they have a lane. And so we have to get into that lane, and then does, you know, is Dallas a market that Big Pharma wants to be in? Well, that one's a big yes. You know, there's 8 million people in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, again, with diverse backgrounds and just diversity itself. And diversity of data is one of the most critical components for a successful clinical trial.
And I want to emphasize this, Big Pharma, in your quote, Big Pharma and CROs have a rigorous vetting system. Is it fair to say you're through that, the vetting part, and now it's just a case of making sure the matchups still occur? But are you through that? Are you through that vetting part where they say, okay, Empower knows what to do and they've got the right people, they've identified. Now we just got to match them up and see if they're a match. But have you gotten over that major hurdle, you think?
I think we've gone through some big aspects of it. You know, I would say that there's more. You still have to go through, you know, like say the application phase. You have to go through, you know, registration phase. The CRO is going to come and do site visits for the final like sign off, like, you know, is your facility real? Do you have the fridges and do you have the type of medical equipment, you know, that is needed for, you know, for patients for this trial? But once you get through that, then, you know, you're getting awarded your contract. And the moment that you start seeing patients, I mean, I'm talking day one, is revenue generation, because each touch point from that contract signing going forward is a billable moment back to Big Pharma. And they give you the schedule. They, you know, there's some negotiation of what you can include. Some extras can be put into the contract terms. But once that's established, they itemize everything. And I've seen some examples where just the fee schedule for the trial over a 12, 18 or 24 month period,
massive,
in some cases can be 15, 20, 30 pages long in the contract, because it's so detailed down to the minutia. And but at least you know going in where you are, and then it's really a function of the count of patients and what I refer to as the stickiness of the patients, that the patients stay, you know, through the trial and don't drop out, and that you can, you know, get more recruited. So having these seasoned PIs with a deep patient roster is a real benefit.
And the initial medical site with four PIs, you had four of them. Sorry, you had four. Now you've added two more. So you've increased, you've increased your roster, for lack of a better term, by 50%. Yeah. And you're up to six. Where do you think, where would you like to be by the end of the year? Because obviously that's so valuable of an asset to have, because the size of the patient database they've got, the focus on practices that they've got. What do you think is a realistic number by the end of the year? Because again, you're halfway through, we're a little more than halfway through the year, and you're up to six.
Yeah, so I think that we have the opportunity to sign a few more additional PIs in other markets. We're looking at other markets that we have a presence in, markets like Phoenix, Arizona, which again is large, diverse, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We've got strong healthcare and board member relationships there. So, you know, we're probably not likely to chase after any more PIs in Dallas, you know, in 2023. We want to be known to the CROs and to pharma that we have diverse markets to tap into. Again, diversity of data and patient data is really one of the most important things that we as an SMO, a site management organization, can bring. Then I think the other objective for us, George, around in 2023 is, you know, we want to see each of our six PIs at least be awarded one contract in 2023. Now, I can tell you that the our PIs in the first center have each said that they want to run two trials each at all times. So, you know, our objective with that site is to build up to having eight types of trials running.
Wow.
Two for each individual doctor. I don't know whether to line up exactly two, 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 but that's what they've expressed to us. That's what their objectives are. And that's what they said fits within their capacity. Because remember, they're still practicing medical doctors. And so, you know, this fits into an overall practice theme.
They still got to do their jobs.
They still do their jobs, but they, you know, they really can benefit. I mean, there's tangibles, you know, intrinsic motivators and extrinsic motivators for these medical doctors. They want to see their patients get better. They want to see their patients impact future healthcare outcomes, and they want to impact future healthcare outcomes. They're also paid very well for this work, and it's in addition to what they do on a day-to-day basis. So it's attractive to medical doctors who are specialists primarily, who have research experience, is a big, you're ticking all the boxes that the CROs and big pharma want. And if you have that in our profile of PIs to launch with, then we've got a pretty good formula. And that's why we're building a nice reputation so far.
I'm glad you ended with that, because I want to add something on before we move up to the spin-out news, which is, look, it's no secret. We've got some disappointed shareholders out there in what's happened with the company over the last 18 months or so. And, you know, we can talk about that another time with what's happened to the markets in general. But, hey, we're you know, you're a responsible CEO, you're accountable, and you're not happy with it either. So you might have some shareholders saying, "Ah, well, maybe this is just Steve talking. How do I know to try? How do I know to really rely on this?" I want to add in a comment, and then obviously I want to hear from you. But what I want everyone to remember is these are medical professionals. These principal investigators, they have practices to run. They're serious people. They've been around. They're not wasting their time by partnering up with Empower Clinics and being part of this process. And then we've also got the pharma sponsors and the CROs who have brought us to this stage, right? They've allowed us to get in the door to this stage with the CDAs. So that's real. If it's not just George and Steve talking about maybe we're going to sell some suntan lotion here in Greece and generate some revenue. In order for all this to be real, to where we've gotten to, you had to have commitments by principal investigators, and you had to have, you know, pharmas and big pharmas and CROs say, "All right, we're going to show you our CDAs, and now let's see if you fit with us." So I just wanted maybe have
you
comment.
Exactly right, and you know, these principal investigators, I think how you described this, right? These are serious people, and It took a great deal of back and forth to get to know, in this case, these four gentlemen, and to gain, you know, kind of their confidence. And then we spent, you know, a serious amount of time putting contracts together with them. So, you know, we have, yeah, we previously announced it. So we've got a contract with the medical center with the four PIs, and we have four contracts with each of the four medical doctors as, and these are what we call our PI contracts, the principal investigator contracts. Then the pain management center, we've got contracts with their two key doctors that, you know, the principals behind the practice. So, you know, this is not, you know, just stuff that's just done in a handshake and hey, we're going to go figure it out. I mean, this is serious business here. And we are taking, you know, our approach to this in a very serious manner. And this is all about trying to get Empower Clinics as a public company to be more focused in areas of strength, which has always kind of been patient management and clinic management, but with positive free cash flow on the other side of it.
And that was your quote. I previously stated that these new agreements with PIs bring growth and new anticipated revenue and cash flow in 2023. My position remains the same. So
yes,
it's great that you're saying that for everyone, Steve, because you know you're not mincing words, you're not fence sitting. And I love that. And we're going to see how that side progresses. Yeah. What I want to talk about here in the last couple of minutes was you've announced a proposal for a division spin out and vending in an AI based company. Just a couple of minutes there, because I know we can't talk a lot about it until I guess these are officially done. Then you can release more details. But
yeah,
that's a big move.
Well, you know, this is about shareholder value. And, you know, in a time when, you know, none of us like the current, you know, value, you know, no one's as disappointed as I am. And we have to, you know, look at strategies. And we've been going through a lot of division analysis. We've been looking at the markets. We've been looking at other industries. You know, there is a playbook for spin-outs. You know, obviously the resource sector has done that for decades. And we have a lot of the criteria already in place. One, these are wholly owned subsidiaries that we have, and we have a few entities that our shareholders already know. Those entities have been subject to audit already. So that is already in place. And we've been able to seek, we've had our confidential conversations with the exchange. What the exchange typically does, they don't say the word "we approve." What they say is "we don't have any objections."
Right, of course.
We've had that. We've worked with legal to come up with a format the most efficient basis, most cost efficient basis as possible. And we just felt it was now time to start to signal that we think this is right for our shareholders. The other thing, George, is we've been looking very closely at technology, AI technology, machine learning technology for healthcare. We've looked at different startups at different stages, a couple of them in the US, one Canadian based, smart, good people behind it, what appears to be pretty stable, solid, cool technology. And what we're looking at is how do you apply this new technology to improve, speed up, and make more efficient clinical trials and research for pre-screening, screening, compliance reviews, the bottleneck of the industry. And you know, think if you've got a patient roster with 20,000 patients in it, and you know, the old methods, you know, these sites and that PIs would run around with binders, with papers, and trying to deliver data back up to CROs. And in fact, what the CROs would do is they would send people down to the medical sites to pick up the paperwork, you know, every couple of weeks. Then it went to spreadsheets. And so, you know, we just think that there's a whole degree of improvement in automation. But when I look at what we're doing through Empower Clinics, I don't want us to get out of focus again. I want EPW to be focused on the site management organization program, managing PIs and patients, and stay in that lane and get really good at it. But I do feel that this good technology that's now on us deserves to be worked on. We need to lean into it. And if we can leverage medical centers and patients and access to patients and access to the medical record systems from Empower Clinics and EPW Cure Search into, you know, Subco and Nuco, but spin that out into its own public entity, its own management, its own board of directors and advisors, because it's a different business, you know, building technology platforms. And we've done it before. And I really just don't feel that we should smash the two together. And I want to try to present to the Empower shareholders an opportunity for another deal, another transaction that they don't have to pay for and create extra and new shareholder value.
Well, that was a nice bonus to see that. And we'll talk about it more as it comes closer and closer, because obviously there's some steps there, but that's going to be a great bonus for everybody. We're getting a spin out into a new pubco. Empower shareholders are going to get some stock there, some benefit there. Yep. And then we're also going to get a nice company vended in. I'm going to tell you this. I'll end it with this, Steve. If you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, if you're watching this, you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, your biggest complaint is everything didn't go according to plan, and yet management's still keeping the same plan, and that frustrates everybody. Here you are. I mean, you pivoted incredibly into the clinical research side of things, and you're making these changes at the core of the company with the spin out, bringing in a potentially vending in AI. I think it's great what you're doing, and because that's the secret to success, is that you got to keep it moving. You got to keep change. And I love what you're doing, Steve.
We do. We had to. It was forced upon us, and we can't sit idly by and do nothing, say nothing. We've got to figure it out. And, you know, we've had to just sort of hunker down, be quite internal for the last number of weeks. So I feel that we're reaching a place now where I can get back online. I've got more information and news to talk about on a more regular basis. And so I would expect that we'll be, you know, you and I will be doing more interviews. Yep. And I'll generally be doing more interviews. We'll be updating our website. We've got a EPW Cure Search landing page that's already live. So there's going to be, you know, people are going to start to see this really come into focus. And I'll be in a position very soon to start to introduce what we think will be the structure of the spin out and what that pro rata portion is going to look like for the Empower shareholders, and you know, get our support as we, you know, move deeper into the year.
It's the middle of vacation season, Steve. You've made my vacation better. Hopefully you made the vacation this vacation period better for all Empower shareholders out there. Great news. Love it, man. I'm not surprised. Can't wait to have you back when we talk more, my friend.
All right. Thanks for your time, George. Much appreciated.
For everybody at home, you've been watching or listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform. To Steve McCauley, CEO at Empower Clinics, EPW in Canada, EPWCF in the US, and for our friends in Germany, AEC. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.